My name is Tom Burke. I'm a member of the Local 73 Service Employees International Union, and I also work with the Columbia Solidarity Committee, just two of the groups that have helped to put on today's event, along with Jobs with Justice and other sponsoring unions and organizations. We wanted to thank Cannes Television for coming to film and to broadcast this, and I also wanted to thank Joanna Misnick for her work on behalf of Local 73. She did a lot of the basic work that we need to get events done. I just returned on Sunday night from Columbia. And on the one hand, it was a very inspiring trip. The unions in that country are amazing. The people are amazing. The culture of the people is a beautiful culture. People are much calmer than we are, and much more gentle in a certain way. You know, people told me on a number of occasions that I was speaking too loud or closing doors too hard, for instance. And it's a country with vast differences within the country. So you have areas that are very wealthy and very rich, and then you have large areas of the city that are filled with working class people and families in small apartments and small homes. And you also have, in Bogota, for example, 1 million people displaced by war in the countryside. So a city of 6 million has become a city of 7 million. And these people live in dire poverty, packed into small zones along the mountains, like nothing people have seen in this country. In Bogota itself, I was hosted by the Oil Workers Union. The Oil Workers Union is about 6,500 members, rank and file, as well as leaders and retired members, just like our unions here, very similarly organized. The Oil Workers Union is in the key industry, they say the backbone of Colombia's economy. Oil is about 4% of the gross national product, and it's a large revenue source for the government because in the 1950s, the oil workers forced the government to create a nationalized oil industry. The struggle the oil workers face now is against privatization, against the free trade of the Americas Agreement, and in particular, they're attacking the pension plan of the oil workers. Oil workers are pretty well paid in Colombia. They make about $550 a month. That's a good job. They also have things like 100% health care coverage, including the children, the spouse's parents, and your own parents. So it's a very good plan, and it was won through struggle. I was in Bogota a day, and you know, the dangers of the life of the human rights director for the Oil Workers Union became apparent within minutes of leaving the airport. He met me there with another friend who's a Colombian American, and they told me to move quickly, and we went over, as they called on the phone, to a driveway where an armored SUV came and picked us up with a bodyguard who was armed inside the vehicle. So I knew immediately that things were serious and to do what I was told, you know. So the rest of the night we went back to a house and we visited, and it was fairly relaxed. But the next morning we got up early and we flew to the city of Barranca Cabermeja, which is a oil city, basically, with a huge refinery. It's also the heart of the struggle in Colombia. It's where, in that zone, the army and the guerrilla groups are combating each other. It's where the paramilitaries operate at the highest level. And at this point, they've taken over the city we visited. When we landed there, we were picked up by two armed bodyguards and a taxi driver who they trusted. And just driving was not exciting. It was scary, because the paramilitaries are all over and you don't really know who's who and what's what. You know, they can come up on motorcycles, SUVs, taxis. This city has had over 400 people killed in this year alone, just inside the city, not including the countryside. Most of the people are killed by the paramilitaries, the vast majority. I talked with people in a peasants association where we stayed, and I was never on the street for more than 10 minutes when we went from one place to another. It was very serious in terms of our security. And they said that they were much safer because I was there. That's kind of an amazing thing to think. When we visited across the street with the Human Rights Organization, they also were accompanied by foreign nationals who were part of the International Peace Brigades, mostly Christian pacifists. And what these people do is they simply accompany the human rights workers. So in the morning when we woke up at 5 o'clock to go to the 6 o'clock demonstration of the oil workers, where 1,400 oil workers protested privatization, protested neoliberalism, protested the FTAA, Free Trade of the Americas Agreement. We went and we were accompanied by the human rights workers because they're there to protect the leaders of the oil workers union, which would have about 20 leaders at the protest. And then they're followed by the priest brigades people who are protecting the human rights workers. And so you see, it's a whole layer that's been built up because of the level of paramilitary violence supported by the state in Colombia, which is then supported by $2 billion from the United States in terms of military and police funding. Colombia gets more military aid from the United States than any other country in the world. Other countries get more types of aid, Egypt and Israel first, but Colombia is where we're spending our military money. And it's creating great problems in terms of human rights and in terms of trade union rights. So what was the oil workers' demonstration like? Well, there were 20 riot police on each side. There was an armored car, you know, they call them tanks. And then in front of the oil refinery, there was a long line of about 30 soldiers, most of them outside the gate behind what they call serpent barbed wire. And then inside the gate, there were more soldiers. And so we made the rally, and the chant of the oil workers is, "Long live the oil workers." And they say, "Long live." And then, "Down with Plan Colombia." And everyone chants, "Down with Plan Colombia." So it's very direct in terms of the union movement. I met with teachers, union leaders in Bogota. We met with Luis Adolfo's union. They all have the same chant, "Up with the unions, down with Plan Colombia." When the workers made their rally outside opposing the changes to the pension, the company has already violated their collective bargaining agreement. They're saying they're just going to go ahead, they have the backing of the Congress, and they're just going to change the pension regardless of what the law says, regardless of what the contract says. So the workers rallied, and they waited till 10 minutes after 7 because they wanted to be a little bit late to work to make a point. And then they entered the plant. And the leaders of the union waited till most of the workers were in, and then they attempted to enter the plant so they could talk with the bosses, the big bosses. And this is where the army stepped in to force them back out. And when I say army, we're talking automatic weapons, we're talking full gear. You know, it's the New World Order. Back in Bogota, we attended the conference for the Coca-Cola workers. We had a demonstration at the U.S. Embassy. We had about 300 people at both the demonstration and the conference. We also had 30-plus North Americans who attended, and about half of those were trade unionists. The Colombian workers were very excited to meet us and to talk with us, even at times when the barrier of language could have separated us. People just hugged and tried to communicate as best they could and to share their experiences. In one of the meetings we had in the Food and Beverage Workers Union Hall, we met with their leaders, about 20 or 30 of them, and then about 20 of the people from the United States. And every one of us got up and said what we did for work, what our names were, and how we participated in the struggle, both here and in Colombia. And this was one of the best moments because you got a real feeling for the commonalities people share. When I talked about having this rally in Chicago, and we got a big round of applause because people are very eager for our support and our aid to their struggle. They also, when one of the Colombian workers spoke later, he spoke about the struggle for the 8-hour day of Chicago, and he said, "Your struggle in Chicago has inspired not just us in Colombia, but all of Latin America on May Day. We all celebrate your city every year on May Day." And I think we should applaud ourselves for being from a fine city. So, on my way out of Colombia, I actually was pulled out of the ticket line by a young policeman at the airport. And he took me away to get fingerprinted and have an x-ray taken, believe it or not. And the human rights director from the oil workers union seemed to think it wasn't a coincidence. And Luis Adolfo says the same exact thing happened to him on his way home. So we obviously made an impact. On the news, the night after the conference, we found out that the president of Coca-Cola in Colombia resigned from his job. So I think we've already begun to make an impact. The leader of the Food and Beverage Union says he believes it's not a coincidence that the conference has had this impact. He also said the vice president of the union, of the company, will take his place. And he thinks that vice president will have a much more difficult job because of the building of a campaign in the U.S., in Europe, in the rest of Latin America to stop Coca-Cola from having death squads kill the workers in the bottling plants. The human rights director for the oil workers union has also told me that the human rights group they work with in Bogota, one of the human rights workers had her house raided last night. And so the police are very active, and it's not a daily event maybe for one organization, but they're all on alert that every week, every month, there's raids, there's kidnappings, there's detentions, there's murders in the streets, people in their homes, people leaving to go to work. And that, you know, the situation is very serious and very grave, but it's because they have a very powerful movement, the type of movement we would like to be in solidarity with and the type of movement we want to build here. At some points, it made me think about the Old South and the way the Ku Klux Klan operates in terms of what the paramilitaries represent. At other times, it made me think about the Staley workers' struggle in Illinois, where a big multinational corporation comes in and basically destroys a union and tries to kill the will of workers to fight back. But the hope is in Colombia is in the people. Today in Colombia, there's a huge demonstration in Bogota against the Uribe government. He's the new president. The people on the street call him the death squad president. The one interchange I had on the street was with some people who were displaced by the war. And they were trying to get me to give them money. And I was under strict orders not to engage with people on the street. So I said no and started to walk away. They yelled at me, "Down with Plan Colombia." I turned around and I yelled back, down with Plan Colombia. They kind of looked at me funny. And then the people who were with me said, you shouldn't have said that. You don't know who's around. We got to get out of here. So that's what we did. But, opposition to the government, opposition to Plan Colombia, to the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement, which every working person knows what that is, right? Every single person knows what it is, and they're opposed to it. It's just widespread. In the city of Barrancabermeja, where the oil industry is, a few years ago, after the paramilitaries became very active in the countryside there, there's 25,000 campesinos, peasants who live in that area. They took on a 90-day marching project where they went from village to village, and it ended with a rally in the city. 20,000 campesinos out of 25,000 came and marched through that city. The police couldn't stop them. The army couldn't stop them. The oil workers came out to support them. You know, there's a big social ferment going on. So there's the war in the countryside. There's a lot of social unrest in the cities if you're a big owner of a company. You know, a big popular movement is what we would say. And things are going to change there. Things are going to heat up. They're not going to calm down. You know, the confrontation between the government and the army and the police and the paramilitary is coming up against not just the guerrillas in the countryside organized amongst the poor peasants. It's coming up against the trade unions, the women's organizations, the peasants' associations of displaced people in the city. And things are going to hit each other very hard in the next few years. What we can do is defend the rights of workers to organize, to have unions. Coca-Cola has driven the union out of the factories. We have to drive the union back into the factory. We have to support the human rights of everyone in the country. You know? It's not right that people are being shot down on the street. The secretary from the Human Rights Office was shot dead because they couldn't get the lawyers. Right? The poor woman who answered calls and took notes at the front desk. You know, she spends her day in a 5x5 cubicle locked up working. They kill her when she leaves work because the lawyers won't come out, you know, because they're working late. So they shoot her dead in front of the vendors on the street. You see these posters in front of you. They're the Coca-Cola workers. They're the ones from the Food and Beverage Union. That's who we're here to remember, and that's who we and the Colombian workers will fight for in the future. With that, I wanted to share those experiences. Again, the day-to-day situation is very serious, and it's very intense in terms of my experience. But it's also awesome to see out of 500 workers in a factory, 400 attend the union meeting on a Tuesday night for 4 hours. Everyone gets up to speak who wants to speak before they all go home. It's inspiring to see 1,400 workers rally outside their plant despite the presence of the police and the army. They cannot be stopped and they will not be stopped. It's impressive to see these oil union leaders who they apply to be protected by the government. Very few of them get it. It's delayed for 5 or 6 years if they do get it. And they go out every day to organize. Nothing will stop them. They know that they have a role to play in changing their society, and they just will not be stopped.